So, we're going to, I have 50 minutes on here, so I promised I would start late, which is never a problem with me anyway, because I always start late. It's a family thing, family trait. I like to give people a time to warm up and, you know, get used to, yeah. So, there will be no class, I just want to say for the record, there will be no class next Monday night, which is April 23rd, thank you. Because there will be a Yom HaZikaron program at the JCC, sponsored by Young Israel Park, Young Israel Southfield Metro Council, Yeshiva Akiva, Beth Shalom, Temple Israel, I believe. Temple Emmanuel, not Temple Israel, Temple Emmanuel.
And Kol HaTorah
Mitzion. I think so, yeah. Well, they're probably the show.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, highly recommended program, really makes Yom HaZikaron very meaningful. For those of you who haven't been to a program before, I strongly recommend it. Okay, so let's start. We're doing that. We have a double parsha this week, so I thought that we would do all of Nechama on Tazria and Metzorah in 42 minutes or less. I'm joking. It's been a long day. Okay, so we're going to start with the beginning of Parsha Tazria. What do you know about Parsha Tazria and Metzorah? Like, when you hear the Tazria and Metzorah as a double parsha, other than the fact that thinking, like, there's a lot of leaning in shul, what do you think about when you... What pops into your mind that you remember from Tazria Metzorah?
Schmutz.
Right, schmutz. Schmutzy.
Right,
the laws of relating to impurity in a specific situation, actually. Which situation?
Comes into the house.
Okay, Tzarat coming to the house, right.
And empty out the whole house and get rid of
Right, why does the person get Tzarat? Right, and there are also six other sins that are listed that a person gets Tzarat for. It's not only for speaking Lashon Hara. Uzziahu, the king Uzziahu, got Tzarat for trying to bring a Ketoret. They stopped him in time, but he got Tzarat because of his intention. Had he followed through with it, Nadab and Avihu's fate from last week's Parsha would have probably been his. But it starts off with the sacrifices of a woman who gives birth. And right smack in the middle, we have an interesting mitzvah. So I'm starting from the beginning of the parsha. But most of the parsha is about Tazria, is about Tzarat, and I said, you know what, everybody does Tzarat, everyone does Lashon Hara, I'm going to do something different this week. So that's why we're doing the first one in Nechama. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying the following, on page 608 and 609 in your Chumashim. Daber el b'nei Yisrael le'mor. Speak to the Jewish people to say the following. Isha ki Tazria. When a woman becomes pregnant, the yalda zachar, and she gives birth to a male, the tam'a shiv'at yamim kimei nijat dota titma, she is, ugh, what a horrible translation. Okay, my translation, she is impure for a period of 7 days, just as she would be when she experiences her monthly menses. Thank you. Ubayom hashmini, and on the eighth day, yimol b'shar or laito, she will give him a brit milah, or he will give him, rather, a brit milah. Ushloshim yom ushloshet yamim teshev b'dmei tahara, for 33 days she shall remain in blood of purity, b'chol kodesh lo tiga, but she can't touch anything that's holy. She can't come to Beit HaMikdash till she's finished 33 days. If she gives birth to a female, then she is impure. And impurity and purity are merely technical definitions in terms of her relationship with things that are set aside for the Beit HaMikdash and for holy things. It doesn't mean that she's not holy. It doesn't mean she's not clean. It means that she is not permitted to come in contact with the things that are associated directly with God. Just very briefly, part of the reason for that being that when a woman experiences her monthly, again, this is not a class I would necessarily give with men here, but when a woman experiences her monthly cycle, that she is expelling a seed that had a potential for life. So she had some type of contact with something reminiscent of death, and therefore she needs to be separate from God, who is the source of light, for a certain amount of time, and then she can come back. But again, it's not a contamination of her. She's not unclean. She's not contaminated. She simply is a technical definition of what she can come in contact with. So after the birth of a female, she the blood coming out of her is considered impure for 2 weeks, and then for 66 days, the blood is pure, but she can't touch. It's a different kind of blood. It's not a blood of Nisa. It's a different kind of blood. For 66 days, and then when she finishes, she's going to come to the Beit HaMikdash, and she's going to bring a special korban, whether she gives birth to a male or a female, and if she can't afford a sheep, then she brings a bird, and that's that. That's how the parsha begins of Tazria. But right smack in the middle of this, right here, which we read already in Pasuk Gimel, in verse number 3, Uvayom Hashemini, on the eighth day, Yimol Bishar Orlato. She, her son that she gives birth to has a bris, a brit milah. When was the first time this mitzvah showed up? Parsha Lech Lecha, right. With Avraham Avinu, Parsha Lech Lecha, Hashem came to Avraham, said, you have to give yourself a bris, you have to give your son Yisrael a bris. Before Avraham, before Yitzchak was even born, he said, you have to give a bris. Which is the book of the Torah that regularly repeats mitzvahs? Not this one. It's Devarim. Exactly. Devarim is called another name for Devarim. It's Mishneh Torah, that it's a repeating Torah. Oh, what a great ring.
Got
something. Okay. Okay. All right, guys. Just got
I love
all
it.
Carried
I love
away.
It.
Yeah. I forgot. Okay.
So why find this?
Right. So why do we have this mitzvah? Thank you for refocusing me. Why do we have this mitzvah showing up again over here? The first time it shows up in Parsha Lech Lecha with Avraham. Why is it showing up again here in this particular context? Okay. It's a good question, right? Okay. So I forgot to hand out the source sheets for you. You want or not, it's mostly Hebrew.
No.
Okay. A couple English. You know what, I'm gonna give you one for later. I'll give you one later when I need it, when we get to the... Okay. So I brought you, well, Nechama starts off with quoting you the mitzvah as it is. You know, there are lots of books that list all the mitzvahs. So the first, everything okay, Shifu?
Yes.
Okay. So the first one that she brings, is she quotes from Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvot, from his book of Mitzvot, that's in source number 1, what I brought you actually in English, the laws of circumcision, it's law number 215, is what he lists. That's on the page that I handed out to you. But this is a mitzvah to give a boy a bris, and any man who violates this commandment, here, by this injunction or command to be circumcised, this injunction is contained in his words, it's also be he to Abraham, every male among you shall be circumcised. Torah explicitly decrees extinction, meaning karet, excommunication, completely cut off from everybody forever, for any man who violates his positive commandments. In his words, exalted be he, and the uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that soul shall be cut off from his people. Provisions of this commandment are explained in the 19th chapter of Shabbat and in the 4th chapter of Yevamot, that's in the Gemara. The obligation to circumcise the son does not rest upon the mother as it does upon the father, as explained in Kedushin. It's not the mother's obligation to give a brit to the son, it is the father's obligation. If there is no father or the father, something happens to him, he's not available at that time, then the obligation goes to the community Beit Din. It's the Beit Din's obligation to give a brit to a child. It is not the mother's obligation to give a brit to her son, which is an interesting thing, but you could have come to the fatherhood courses last summer, last November, whatever they were.
That,
with Miriam.
With Yomosh.
Chippora gave that brit. Right, they're very interesting mefreshim over there on that. Anyway, so she quotes first the Sefer HaMitzvot. Rambam brings us the Sefer HaMitzvot, that any man who doesn't circumcise his son, that person gets karet. The son, you know, it's like one of the things that you really got to do is to give a bread. Sefer HaChinuch also lists this mitzvah as part of his list of mitzvah, but the Sefer HaChinuch goes in the order of how mitzvahs appear in the Torah. So for the Sefer HaChinuch in source number 2, which mitzvah number is it? 215 was from, sorry, was from number 1. That was Rambam. So according to Sefer HaChinuch, it's mitzvah number
2.
It's the bet, right. It's mitzvah number 2 in the second mitzvah. So Sefer HaChinuch brings it as the mitzvah, and I'm reading now in the Chama, and I'll refer in a minute to the Sefer HaChinuch on our sheet. The Sefer HaChinuch records this mitzvah in Parshat Lech Lecha, not here in Tazria. adding that this commandment was not confined to Abraham, but rather this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. So the commentators ask why this mitzvah is repeated in Parshat Tzviah. That's the question that we began with. So Zivra Chinuch answers a comprehensive answer, she says. This command is repeated in Parshat Tzviah, even as many other commandments are recapitulated several times in the Torah, each time for a specific purpose, as explained by our sages. That's what he says. There is a reason for it, and Chazal explain what that reason is, but Sefer HaChinuch does not give us what that reason is at all. And here he says it in the Hebrew, if you want to follow in the Hebrew. Lech Lecha Yesh Mitzvah Se'acha, Lech Lecha, the parsha Lech Lecha has one positive commandment in it, V'hi mitzvat milah, that's the mitzvah of a brit milah, Shne'amar, Zot briti asher tishmu ben yu ben yechem u ben zarecha achalecha. This is my covenant that you'll keep between me and you and your offspring after you. After you, v'himo lachem kol zachar, everybody should give a bris. V'nech pelah b'seder ishar ki tazriya, it's repeated again in the parsha of ishar ki tazriya, which is our parsha, d'chshiv v'yom hashmini yimo b'shar alato, on the eighth day, the whole have a brish. The harbe mitzvot nichpalu b'makamot harbe b'torah. Many mitzvot were repeated several places in the Torah. V'chulan l'torech. It's all for a reason. K'moshe pershim chachamein zechonam l'vracha. Like our rabbis explained. But again, he doesn't give us the reason actually as to why they were repeated. But the Or HaChaim, who was he lived from 1696 to 1743. He was the head of the Moroccan community in Israel. It's a very interesting interpretation. I have it here in the Hebrew, but it's Rashi letter, so let's read it from her in the English. The rabbis talk about that here, when it's mentioned here, it means, according to Or HaChaim, here on the bottom of page 162, according to Or HaChaim, the repetition Tazria teaches us that the law of circumcision overrides the Shabbat, seeing that it must be performed on the eighth day. The fact that the Torah here says that Bayom HaShmini, that it has to be done on the eighth day, meaning no matter what, even if that's Shabbos, normally we wouldn't be allowed to do such surgery on Shabbos, but for this you have to do it, override Shabbos. Since this did not apply to Abraham, it was not mentioned in Bereshit. Here's what he says. Abraham was commanded to circumcise. He was not required to observe the Shabbos. He seems to imply that Abraham knew about Shabbos. Shabbos was like, you know, there's this whole debate, did the Avos keep the mitzvot? Did our forefathers actually follow all the commandments the way they are in the Torah? So the Or HaChaim seems to be of the opinion that they knew about it. They knew about all the mitzvot in the Torah, but they weren't commanded to keep it. Therefore, they were like someone who is eino mitzuveh l'oseh. Like, he wasn't commanded and he did it. Like, our status on Sukkot night, we are not commanded to sit in the sukkah on Sukkot night. We don't have that obligation. When we sit in the sukkah, do we get a prize? Of course we do. Not as much as our male counterparts do, because they are commanded, and it's much harder to keep something you're commanded to do than something you're not commanded to do. So for the forefathers, it was not a commandment for them to keep Shabbos. It was not a requirement, whereas the circumcision was a requirement for them. So what would Avram do, being a good Jewish man that he is? Avram knows he has this mitzvah of Brit Milah. He also knows he has that there exists this mitzvah of Shabbos. So when Shabbos would come, he wouldn't give his Brit Milah. But we have a problem, because the Brit Milah he's commanded to do, and Shabbos he's not. Shabbos is just one of those nice things he does. So had he skipped the Brit Milah because of Shabbos, says the Or HaChaim, he would have been liable. That would be a bad thing for him to do. Therefore, since he wasn't commanded about Shabbos, Hashem didn't command him the mitzvah now is that it overrides Shabbos. Here's what he says. Abraham was commanded to circumcise. He's not required to observe the Sabbath. Had he failed to perform the circumcision on the Sabbath, he would have acted improperly, God forbid. It was therefore pointless of God to command Abraham to circumcise even on the Sabbath. Indeed, had such a commandment been issued there, rivers of ink would have been filled to explain it. The actual way he writes it, and I find it interesting that she changes the translation, but this is just a side point. The actual Hebrew that he writes in the last line of the Or HaChaim, those of you who are more fluent in Rashi will find it a little easier. says, "V'im hayam mitzuveh." If hayam mitzuveh, if he had commanded him, hayu mishtavim hakol nashim alav, the quills would have been broken about over it. It's the same meaning, but just a different. Okay. I just found that interesting. Yes. Okay, this provides a halachic answer to our problem. Okay, the Tolo Yitzchak of Yitzchak Karov views differently the incorporation of circumcision in the text dealing with uncleanliness. He asks the following question, which is a good question, because it's based on Shelley said. If the Torah deems it necessary to repeat the law of the circumcision, having recorded it in the Lord's commandment to Abraham in Genesis, this is not the right place. Surely the covenant of the circumcision, the Brit Milah, is holy and pure. Why then associated with uncleanliness, as if placing a kohen into a graveyard? That was your first association, right? Yeah. As soon as they said, what do you think of when you say Tazria? She said, smut. You know, so here you have, what's the mission? Bring me love, the covenant, the connection, the contract between man and God. What is that doing here in the middle of this parsha, of all the parshas? Good question. The answer is as follows. Beautiful answer. Man has been created for the sole purpose of serving his creator. Thus, having created man, Hashem took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden, and he commanded them. Likewise, hereafter, stating, and born a man child. Here's what it says. Let's go back in to look at that. Genesis 2. Bereishit Perek Bet. Vayikach Hashem Elokim et Adam, page 12 and 13. Vayikach Hashem Elokim et Adam, God took man, v'nicheu b'gan Eden l'adah l'shama, and he put him in Gan Eden, v'yitav Hashem Elokim et Adam, he commanded him, eat from everything, except for from the Eitz HaDaat, and then he said it's not good for a man to be alone, etc., etc. Then later on, he commands it, what? Right, he has the Ezer Kenegdo situation. And then here in our parsha it says, when you bear a man child, the Torah says, on the eighth day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. He was born to fulfill God's commandments. Here's what he said. Man, Adam, was created. God commanded him, eat from all the fruits except for this tree. Do X, Y, Z in Gan Eden. Man is born of woman. Immediately there's a commandment that he has to fulfill. A Brit Milah. Both, he's comparing the birth of a male child to a creation of man. He was born to fulfill God's commandments. And the Brit Milah is the first and foremost mitzvah, without which he is not a Jew. Through circumcision, he accepts the yoke of the kingdom of heaven, having been marked to serve the Lord and fulfill all his commandments. Hence, the mitzvah of Milah appears in conjunction with the birth of a male child. Male, he says, like with the male, the first creation was also male. But it's a symbol of the what?
It's to be recapitulating.
Exactly, the creation of man. So the that's an interesting question. First of all, Adam wasn't Jewish. Who says he was circumcised? So the first recorded, I would even possibly disagree with that. But the first recorded circumcision is definitely with Abraham. Right, because monotheist was Abraham. So how could he be considered a Jew if he wasn't commanded to keep the Torah? Part and parcel of being a Jewish person is keeping the 613 mitzvot. If he didn't have the 613 mitzvot, could he be considered a Jew? It's a question. I'm not saying he wasn't, but it's a...
That's the first pondering that when you're going through Hebrew school and you're coming of age of understanding, that's usually the first question.
Interesting. But the question I got today was, why would someone who's not Jewish want to keep the seven Noahide laws?
The other question is, can God create a stone? Rock. You know, that's the issue of
rock too heavy for
him to create. So the first one that, on a lower level, is how can Abraham be the first Jew if there was no Torah?
I don't think that's such a low-level question.
No,
I think it's just sophisticated.
It
yeah.
is. The first one when you have the
interesting when you start thinking that way. Okay, so on page 164, this analogy between Adam and a newborn child aptly reminds us of the basic purpose of human existence, service of the Almighty. I mean, one of the interesting topics to discuss after we go through her whole article is why are men commanded? Why is it not only on a man and not on a woman? It's something interesting to discuss afterwards, but... Let's go through this first. We can cite here, but some of the many reasons suggested for the mitzvah of circumcision. Several scholars place it on a hygienic basis. Akedat Yitzchak, who was Rav Yitzchak Arama, he was a Tosafist in the 12th century. He was Spanish. Sorry, that was somebody else. We have this person. Okay, Akedat Yitzchak was Rav Yitzchak Arama. He was Spanish, 1420 to 1494. Includes this among the seven benefits he enumerates, and I printed up actually from one of my search engines his whole section that he writes on the Brit Mila. I didn't have a chance to read all of it. It's a very confusing philosophical Hebrew. But in there, in talking about, he speaks about seven benefits, seven ta'alot, seven positive outcomes that you have from the Brit Mila. So one of them he talks about is a hygienic one. Includes it among the seven benefits he enumerates, claiming that it prevents the accumulation of decayed semen under the foreskin, which frequently necessitates surgery beyond the ritual requirement. Evidently, timely circumcision prevents disease. Interesting.
And you know what's going now in the World Health Organization?
No.
They've done tests that they are now trying to enforce circumcision. In Africa, because they have found, after numerous testing, that circumcision helps prevent AIDS.
Yeah. No way.
Absolutely right. It's been in the news for the past 6 months.
I heard that
there are now, I mean, it's started when I read this. This he said is in from the 1440s. Everything old is new again. They're talking about it in ways that they're trying to do massive circumcisions of African males precisely to prevent the spread of AIDS.
So he puts this lowest on his totem pole, by the way, of the seven.
Yeah. I know, but it's still
this is like, whatever.
It prevents a lot of sicknesses.
So however, many commentators reject this reason.
A lot of sick sicknesses.
But now you have another problem. Here's another Hebrew school question, perhaps. Arguing that God would hardly create a man with a defect so that he might then remove it. This is a very interesting question. God is creating something imperfect in creating man, and we as man make it perfect by circumcising it, which is interesting in terms of being a partner with God in creation, etc. Okay. But indeed the text in Genesis contains no medical element. And I'd like to turn there now to when the mitzvah was originally given to Abraham, because we're going to look at it in context to talk about some possible reasons for the Brit Milah. And it's in Parakia Zion, chapter 17 of Reishit, which begins on page 72 and 73. Vayhi Avram ben tishim shana v'teisha shanim. Avram was 99 years old. Vayera Hashem al Avram, Hashem appeared to him. Vayomer Elav, his name, remember, is still Avram. Ani kel shakai, I am the God of promises. Hitalech lefanai, walk before me, v'hayat tamim, and be complete. That not retiveini u'benecha, I will put my covenant between me and you, v'arbel chabim od ma'od, I will make you many. V'yupol Avram al-panav, Avram falls on his face, v'yitabir to Elokim, and more God continues to speak to him, saying the following. Ani hinei briti itach. My covenant, behold, is with you. V'hayitah la'av hamon goyim. You will be like a father for a large nation. V'lo yikarei od et shimcha Avram. Your name will no longer be Avram. V'haya shimcha Avraham. Your name will have a hey on it. It will be Avraham. Ki av hamon goyim et haticha. Because you are a father of a large nation. V'yifreiti otcha b'mo'od ma'od. And I will multiply you a lot. Et haticha l'goyim. I will make you over into nations, umalachim imcha yekeu, and kings will come out of you. Nakimoti ebriti beni ubenacha, I will keep my covenant between me and you, benzaracha haracha, and your descendants, the dorotam, the bitolam, for generations forever, liolacha lelokim, I will be your God, ulazaracha haracha, and to your descendants after you. Benatati lacha lazaracha haracha, ad eretz megracha, I will give you eretz Yisrael. The kol eretz Kanaan lachuzat olam forever. Vayiti lahem le'elokim, and I will be for them a God. Vayom le'elokim al'avam, he continues, God continues. Va'ata et briti tishmor. Now you have to keep your end of the deal. You're going to keep my covenant. Ata v'zarecha acharecha l'zoratam. What is it that they're going to keep? Zot briti asher tishmoru b'ni u'v'nechem. This is my covenant. You're going to keep between me and you. Uvein zaracha acharacha, and your descendants, himo lachem kol zachar. Circumcise every male. Unemaldun et besar olachem, and you will circumcise away the flesh of the foreskin. And that will be the sign of a covenant between me and you. And at 8 days old, you will give them a breast called Zachal Adortechem, every male for generations. You'll buy it, whether he's born of your household, or you have acquired him to your household, anyone, even if they're not from your actual seed. You will give a circumcision as well as one from your house and those of you who have acquired. My covenant will be on your flesh forever. An uncircumcised male, he will get karet, who will be completely cut off, eradicated from his nation, because he has validated my covenant. So first of all, you see, you have what we call a milah mancha, which is a repeating word or theme. You have this greet, between me and you. I mean, it's going over and over and over again. So what is this greet? Evidently, there's a relationship that we're supposed to have with God, and this greet milah is a symbol of that relationship with God. So we read it. I don't know if you noticed, there's some repetition in some of these sukkim, especially in Yod and Yod Aleph, this is my covenant, you'll keep between me and you. Circumcise every male, you have to circumcise, and that will be a sign of a covenant between me and you. Here's the repetition. So the Ha'emek Dabar, who's the Netziv, he was in the end of the 19th century, on page 164, he says as follows. And it shall be a token of the covenant as a mark of the Almighty's alliance with you and not as a prophylactic remedy. So he's coming in straight from the get-go and saying this has nothing to do with medicine.
Just like the postal laws have nothing to do with, hygiene.
Exactly, right.
The laws of mikvah have nothing to do with cleanliness.
Right, proof being we have to be clean before you go into mikvah. Proof being I've been in many cultural establishments that are anything but clean. Okay. However, the element of hygiene, I won't tell you which one. However, the element of hygiene may have been adduced by the earlier commentaries as a consequence and not a reason of the mitzvah. So she's making a distinction. Now perhaps they were saying that it's healthier that those who have circumcisions experience healthier lives. And then we come up with our question of this carolization is not necessarily causation. That just because those who have circumcisions have healthier lives doesn't mean it was because of the circumcision necessarily. Although, they're, in the summer, as ice cream consumption goes up, so
does drowning.
Prevents
a lot of sickness.
What?
Excuse me?
It does.
In the summer, as ice cream consumption goes up, and so does drowning. Why? Because in the summer it's hot, so you eat a lot of ice cream, and in the summer it's hot, so you go swimming, so there are more drowning.
Oh, that's okay.
But it doesn't mean that there's a connection between ice cream and drowning. Yeah. Exactly. That's the classic correlation does not mean causation. Back to my experimental psychology days. Yes. How did you know? Okay. Radak takes an altogether different approach. He was medieval and always has an interesting take on things. New South circumcised, he says, and I brought you this in the Hebrew and choice number 5. Let's do it in English. New South circumcised. Let's do it in the Hebrew. Okay, but I'm on source number 5. 4. Source number 4. V'zayiyeh lachem la'otu l'zikaron. This will be for you as a sign and a remembrance. K'mo mitzvah tzitzitu tefillin. That the breed is just like the mitzvah of tzitzit and tefillin. You like that translation of tzitzit and tefillin? Tzitzit and tefillin. Okay. V'hadomim lachem. And those similar mitzvahs like them. L'fi shehem l'zikaron. They're a remembrance. But this one is better than all, he says. This one is the strongest of all of those signs. But it's on the man's body. There's no match for that. Therefore, why is he commanded on that particular part of his body to do the bris? Because most transgressions are done because of that part of the body. Because that is the source of all animalistic desires. Ukshayavoha Adam Lashot Avera Batashmish Otohaver, when a man comes to do a person comes to do an Avera by using that particular part of the body, your Aha Oda Sherbo, he will see the sign that's on it, these Kormashivahu Hakyam. He'll remember what Hashem commanded him, the Nameasota Averahahi, and he'll stop from performing that particular transgression. And you won't be like an animal, leave all kalasher yimsa to cohabitate with anyone he finds. Allah the mutarlo. Rather only with that who is permitted to him, ulahash irzera, and to reproduce ulurifua and to maintain his health. In other words, he won't do it excessively. It's a sign of controlling your yetzahara. And the Rambam, the first time I read this was actually last summer in a different book, and I found it an unbelievably powerful idea. The Ramban echoes in source number 5 also, which we'll do in the English on page 165. This is my covenant which you shall keep. The purpose, according to our sages, was to mark this turbulent and seducing organ with a reminder that it functioned within the mandatory and legitimate limits. Accordingly, this mitzvah fulfills an educational and disciplinary role in the relationship of man towards his creator. It harbors a permanent warning against the sinful use of the organ of reproduction, but not only that, it elevates the carnal activity to the level of a mitzvah. It doesn't just curb the inappropriate, but it takes that which could be viewed as base and makes it holy and special.
And now, all of that time where it says that this mitzvah completes man, now it makes sense to me.
Right.
Because it now puts it into the... Why? How can you take a piece of skin away from somebody and say that that's going to complete him?
Right.
No, because it elevates the act to make it a holiness that it's the one act that is as close to being
right
in the sphere of Hashem, creation of a new life, as possibly can be. And that's why you are completed now.
Right.
As a man. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's really pretty cool.
Okay, we're going to get even cooler. You ready? Okay. Okay, reading beyond the personal level, this gets really cool. Reading beyond the especially for those of you who took my Rambam class, but I brought it. Don't worry, I didn't expect you to remember it. Put it on the other side of the page. Okay, reading beyond the personal level, Maimonides examines the national and social aspects of the mitzvah. So far that was the personal aspect of the mitzvah. Now we have the social and national aspect. There is one more very important factor to the commandment of circumcision. The physical sign as a unifying factor of all those who believe in the one God. For an outsider will not go to such great pains in order to infiltrate for some reasons the rank of another religion. Only for reasons of sincere faith would a man undergo circumcision or subject his sons to it. But this is not just an incision on the hip or a cut on the arm, but a far more serious operation. There is love and solidarity among bearers of the same sign, the Brit Milah. And it brings to mind during the time of Hellenism, when one of the activities is to go to a gymnasium, and the activities in the gymnasium were not done with spandex on. They were done in your birthday suit. And it was, you remember the source by James Michener, where he describes it. He goes into the mind of an 18-year-old boy, Jewish boy in the gymnasium, and the embarrassment that he finds at being circumcised when those around him are not. You know, you're part of a group. He saw it as being not part of the group that he wanted to be part of. But Rambam is talking about, and this goes back also to the class on Shabbos that we were talking about, being part of the importance of being part of a tight-knit Jewish community, particularly in the time of the Middle Ages. And Rambam is talking about if you're identifying with a group, it's your badge, it's your membership card to a group. There's love and solidarity among bearers of the same sign, the Brit Milah. It is this covenant that God made with our patriarch Abraham as a token of acknowledgement of the one and only God. And all those who undergo circumcision enter into Abraham's covenant and confirm the oneness of God to be God to you and to your seed after you, because that's what Hashem said, you do this, I'll be your God. This reason is as important as perhaps even stronger than the first. Our faith in God and fulfillment of the Torah cannot be complete without circumcision. And here I brought you on the second side of the page, in source number 6, I brought you from Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, chapter 3, in which he lists the list of people who had no portion in the world to come. They have no olam haba whatsoever, which means they get karet. The opposite of olam haba is karet. It's complete excommunication. Here's the list. These are those who don't have a share in the world to come. Rather, they're cut off, they're destroyed, they're executed forever because of the greatness of their evilness, the chatatam and their sins, forever and ever. Haminim, the infidels. The apikorsim, those who are apikorsim, heretics. The kofrim b'Torah, those who deny the Torah. The kofrim b'tkiyat ha-mitim, those who deny the resurrection of b'viyat ha-goel, those who deny the coming of Mashiach. Hamumarim, those who convert from Judaism. Umachtiye harabim, those who cause groups of people to sin. Ha-porshim m'dachei sibur, those who separate from the ways of the community. The ha'osah avirot biyad rama befarhesia, those who do avirot brazenly and publicly, like Yehoyakim. The ha'mosrim, those who inform on the Jewish community to others. Umakile ema al hatzibor shelo l'shem shamayim, and they bring fear upon the group that's not for the name of God. V'shofchei damim, and those who kill. Uva'alei lashon hara. The English translation says one who relates lashon hara, but the Hebrew ba'alei lashon hara, a ba'al lashon hara, is someone who is all about lashon hara. Doesn't mean someone who speaks lashon hara. It means someone who's embodied by lashon hara. Like a gossip columnist. But somebody who lives for lashon hara, who all they do is lashon hara. The Hamoshech or Lato, the last on his list, is one who tries to undo his circumcision. Why? That's your identifying mark with the rest of the group. All these people, what they have in common is that they try to cut themselves off from the rest of the Jewish people. They did everything they could to not be part of the community. And he fits right in that list because according to Rambam, that's what the bris is all about. It's about being part of a group. It's very powerful idea. Okay, anyway, yeah.
Well, they have people who are not Jewish who observe Christmas or maybe not on the eighth day or whatever.
Right, the Muslims. You mean in terms of a religious?
No.
There's a fascinating movie called Europa, Europa.
I've heard of that.
It's about a young boy who is a Jewish boy. Holocaust movie. And one of the tragedies, the tragic scenes, is he's sent away to a school for other boys. Mm-hmm. And he has to try, he's trying desperately to regrow his rubber bands to kind of tie, and he couldn't shower with the other kids. Right. He couldn't be present with them. And when you're reading this, it's that's his identification.
Right.
That's his.
Akedah Yitzchak lists the unifying factor of the Brit Milah among the seven aspects of circumcision. For him, it's number two. The second purpose that this sign may serve to unite all members of the covenant in an even stronger bond of mutual love and help. I like this. He takes it the next step farther. I'm going to skip to the next paragraph. Now, since God was pleased to make Israel worthy and therefore give them a copious Torah and many commandments, for whose fulfillment the need of each other's help is even more necessary than in other matters, the Lord in his wisdom decided to mark them all with the same distinctive feature. In other words, you can't keep the Torah by yourself. You just can't. Aside from the technical part of like a minyan, you need a minyan for certain things, you need a group of people for certain things, you physically can't do it by yourself. But I found that in terms of an emotional support system, for me, an emotional support system is crucial to being able to keep the mitzvahs. I mean, crucial. I'll tell you, I'll bare my soul to you quite specifically, even with hair covering. That's something that, to me, I need the emotional support of other people to keep a mitzvah like that. You know, if you're the only one doing it, it's like, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard even if you're not the only one doing it. But if you have the emotional support group of people, it's a very powerful thing. This will be a potent factor in fostering love and peace among them, for they will all worship the same God of their covenant and carry his seal. They will be at peace with and loyal to one another in the spirit of the prophet's admonition. Have we not all one father? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother? Likeness and relationships spawn love and are certain to preserve it, as Maimonides has written in his guide. in which we've elaborated. So the expression to carry his seal, to carry Hashem's seal, often represents the essence of the Brit Milah. So Rabbi Yosef Bechorshar, he was the 12th century Tosafist. And I will make my covenant between me and you. I'll put a seal in your flesh as a sign that you are my servant. Thus it is usual for slaves to wear a badge on their clothes as a mark of submission and allegiance to their masters. It's not unusual. I'm on page 167 on the top small paragraph. Thus, according to the Talmud, a slave may not pass into the street on the Sabbath with his badge around his neck or on his garment, meaning that badge is carrying. You can't carry an unchallenged. As for us, the Almighty has stamped his badge on our flesh to mark us as his servants, and it is irremovable. And indeed, we mention it every day in benching, source number 7, Nodelecha, we thank you, Hashem. I'll say Chatal Avotenu, that you gave to our forefathers, Eretz Chemda, Tovar Chava, beautiful, amazing land. And also we thank you, B'Ashot Zitanu Hashem Elokeinu Me'at Zitayim, that you took us out of Mitzrayim, Ufinitanu Yved Aladim, you redeemed us from a house of slavery. V'Albritcha Shechatam Tebibsharenu, and in your covenant which you sealed in our flesh. V'Ashot Cheshem Le'matitanu, the Torah that you taught us, V'Achukecha Shodatanu, and your laws that you taught us. V'Achayim Chein V'Chesed Shechonantanu, on the kind chesed life that you gave us, and on the food that you gave us, and you give us always at every time and at every hour. So even in benching, we talk about this sign that we have as being part of Hashem's group. But we have the best reason, which is the sixth reason, page 167. The sixth reason concerns the spirit in which this precept is fulfilled. Beyond the other benefits is the fact that it is performed at God's behest, not out of any rational considerations. So granted all the attendant benefits, what prompts the Jew to perform it is the divine induction. That is meant by, walk before me and be perfect. When Hashem started out his conversation with Abraham, the first thing he says to him is, come in, walk before me and be complete. That's really why we keep this mitzvah, right? By Rabbi Meir's statement. Brit Milah is so vital that without it, Hashem would not have created the world. For it is stated in quotes in Yirmiyahu, if I had not appointed my covenant, which adores day and night, in the Hebrew I brought you, just so you can see the Hebrew language, Kol Ma Hashem im lo briti, yomam v'alayla, just so you can see the Hebrew word of the brit. I would not have created. He said, without the brit, without my covenant every day, I wouldn't have created heaven and earth. Thus, by the Spirit expressed in this act, Milah is counted among the divine precepts for whose sake the Lord created the heaven and the earth, which fits in very well with Rabbi Akiva's doctrine about the refinement of humanity. In other words, there's Brit Milah is one of those things, and according to Rabbi Meir, that's why Hashem created the world, for this Brit Milah. So here's what Rabbi Akiva says, just like, and this fits with Rabbi Akiva said, what did Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva said, as it has in the footnote here, had many conversations with his jailer. His jailer's name was Tornus Rufus. He was the prosecutor of the Roman government. You remember one of the things that the Jews were not allowed to do always, whenever there's a Shat Hashmad, whenever there's times of persecution, one of the first things is no circumcision. You're not allowed to have that badge to be part of a group. So Tornus Rufus was his prosecutor, was his jailer, and he seemed to have known to know some things about Judaism. And he had several debates with Rabbi Akiva about certain theological issues. So here he asked the following question. Tornus Rufus, the wicked, once asked Rabbi Akiva, whose works are superior, those of God or those of men? Rabbi Akiva answered him, those of man are superior. I'm going to replace the proper nouns for the pronouns in here because it gets a little confusing. Tornus Rufus said back to Rabbi Akiva, but look at heaven and earth, can man make their like? Rabbi Akiva replied, do not draw on what is above human experience and control, but rather on that which is within our range. In other words, of course I can't make heaven and earth, but let's compare apples to apples. So Tornus Rufus says to him, why do you circumcise? Rabbi Akiva says, I knew you would ask this question, so I anticipated you by saying that human works are superior to those of God. In other words, he says, who creates better, God or man? He says, man. Why did he say man? Because he knew he was going to ask him, why do you circumcise? If man's deeds are perfect, if God's deeds are perfect, then why does man have to fix them? And so that's why he started off saying that man's is perfect. That time Rabbi Akiva brought him ears of corn and cakes. He said to him, the former are the works of God, the latter of man. Are not the latter superior to the ears of corn? The truth is, this is very difficult for us to understand, for me particularly, to understand also that God, that what makes the world perfect is our improving upon God's creation. And the same goes with the Torah, and this is where I have a hard time with it, I'll tell you honestly, with the Torah and with Halacha. What makes Halacha beautiful is when we interpret it and make it our own. We, as a community with rabbis, I mean, I don't mean we. Turner's Rufus, however, countered, if he requires circumcision, why does not the child leave the mother's womb circumcised? Which, by the way, the Midrash says that Moshe was born completely circumcised. That's part of my Moshe as superhero class, but that's like an interesting Midrash. Rabbi Akiva replied, why indeed does the umbilical cord come out with him and he's suspended by his navel and his mother cuts it? As for your query why he is not going circumcised, that is because the Holy One, blessed be he, has given the commandments for the sole purpose of refining our character through them. That is why David declared, the word of the Lord is refined. So the sixth reason for the Brit Milah is educational. This he likewise discerns from comes to Rabbi Akiva. Accordingly, it's not anatomy, it's not the timing, meaning the 8th day, or the essential character of the mitzvah that counts. As in the case of the other mitzvot, the salient point lies in the spirit of the performance as an act of worship in harmony with the divine will. This is reflecting Ibn Ezra's terse comment on the opening verse of the chapter dealing with Brit Milah, right in the beginning, when Hashem says, walk before me and be complete. All Ibn Ezra says is don't ask about the question of about the reason of Brit Milah. Don't ask about it.
Just do it.
Just do it, exactly. Do it because God told you to do it. End of story. Then O Jacob, on Genesis, after stressing that circumcision is a covenantal sign, adds in the wake of Rabbi Akiva that the Brit Milah is designed to improve on creation, sublimate nature, and elevate it to the level of the supernatural. This is building on what we said from Radak and Ramban before. Thus God changed Avram's name to Abraham with the circumcision. The name change reflects the physical transformation. Also, when man was created, he names him Adam. Hashem actually gives him a name of Adam because he came from the land. Yaakov's name is changed into Yisrael. That each time there's a name change, it's a creation sort of a new being, elevating from the natural almost to the supernatural. Accordingly, circumcision as a human act performed at God's behest marks the perfection of human nature. Then Jacob comments, in the Torah, man's original garments were a divine gift and not the products of human resource and cunning, a complement to the work of creation. Just as this improvement opens man's moral history, so circumcision lays the foundation for the Jewish faith, meaning the beginning of moral history being when man covered himself up with showing his own fig leaves. That was the beginning of the moral history that was necessary, he says. So circumcision also lays the foundation for the Jewish faith. There's a noteworthy parallel between the sign of the divine covenant with Abraham and his descendants, and that granted Noach and mankind. The Torah recounts that Noach walked with God, and the opening verse concerning the Brit Milah, God calls upon Abraham to walk before me and be complete. In both instances, Hashem said, I will establish my covenant to you, both to Noach and to Abraham. Noach is the beginning of all creation as we see it now, and Abraham the beginning of the monotheists and Jewish people. With Noach, it was to be the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature, and with Abraham, an everlasting covenant between God and Abraham's seed. In his essay on the meaning of the key words in biblical stories, Martin Buber writes, there, concerning the flood, though addressed to mankind at large, it is a visible, cosmic, and transient sign, whereas here, circumcision, before with the flood, talking about the rainbow, whereas here, with circumcision, the symbol of national identification is discrete, physiological, and permanent. There, the occasional sign is God's work, here it is performed by man. Talking about the different breach, the sign of the breach, Zot Ot HaBrit, is what Hashem says to Noah, talking about the rainbow. It's flourish, it's color, it's out there for everybody to see. It's made by man, by God. Circumcision, made by man, in a private part of the body, permanent. Rainbow is fleeting, it happens only occasionally. The breach is there forever to stay. We ought to say, rather, it is a sign which the Jew effects by divine commandment. So that's the Chama for this week. I thought it was good. I decided to do that instead of a standard Lashon Hara. Everyone does Lashon Hara, yeah.